afternoon. This is Kate Kane, and I am the ILTA Peer Group Vice President for the Professional Services Peer Group, and I'm happy to be speaking today with Corey Wells from MacInnis-Cooper. We've asked Corey to join us today to chat a little bit about the Unified Messaging Project that recently won recognition for MacInnis-Cooper for the Project of the Year Award at this year's annual conference. So welcome, Corey. Thank you very much for carving some time out of your schedule. I thought we might start a little bit with some background information. If you could tell us a little bit about MacInnis-Cooper, where you're located, what size, practice areas, and a little bit about your role there, and then in particular, what the culture is like at your firm, especially as it relates to coping with changes.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. Like you said, I'm with MacInnis-Cooper. We are a law firm in Atlantic Canada. We recently celebrated our 150th anniversary, so we've been around for a while. We represented the White Star Line with respect to the Titanic, so we've been around for a while. We are one of the largest in Atlantic Canada, 7 offices, ranging from 25 to roughly 300 in each office. Total number of employees within the firm, lawyers and staff, would be about 510 right now, I believe. So that's a little bit of background about the firm. Change within the firm, like most law firms, it's a little daunting with respect to technology. Change is not accepted too well, but all in all, I mean, they're pretty good with respect to change. As long as there's a structured training program, it tends to go over fairly well. A lot of work needs to be done up front with respect to organizing training, but once you have that worked out, they're pretty good, I must say.
Great. So tell us a little bit about the Unified Messaging Project. What was involved, the key players, the timing, and how it all went.
The project was about a year long in duration, and it started probably May of 2009, when we were accepted for a Lighthouse pilot project, which is offered by Microsoft. So that was they offered to assist with an implementation of Office Communication Server 2007 R2 within the environment. Unfortunately, the timing was a little quick for us, but we certainly fell in love with the concept of presence of unified messaging, having email delivered in your mailbox, as well as voicemail, missed call notifications. So a lot of these things we really fell in love with because we really seen the potential for increased productivity as well as improved client service. So that's really where it spun out of. With respect to all projects that happen within MacInnis-Cooper of this size, we have to strictly align our projects with the firm's business goals. We follow a service profit chain model, which is essentially happy lawyers, happy staff, better client service. Better client service equates to more money. So as we looked at our project, the Unified Communications project, it was quite easy to align areas of the product with our firm's business goals and their strategy. So that was really, once we sat down and actually mapped out the project to the business goals, it was really a no-brainer. So, again, it was a year-long project. It involved removing 7 of our telephone systems out of our offices. We were running 4 different telephone systems, so there was no real consistency throughout the firm. That was another driver for this project. We wanted to have a consistent telephony infrastructure as well as desktop infrastructure throughout the entire firm. We have a lot of lawyers that travel around Atlantic Canada with different matters. So we wanted to have an environment where they could walk into another office, sit down in a spare office, log on, and work as if they were at their main location. So once we looked at the application, it matched very well. Hence, we decided to take that on.
Sure. Well, and when we talked last time about the project, it sounded there was a lot of complex technologies involved, some substantial capital and human investments, you know, mission-critical systems. I can't imagine, you know, lawyers being able to go without their phones for very long. It could certainly be easy to get lost in those technical weeds. You mentioned a little bit about the service profit chain philosophy with your firm. Exactly how did your team define the initiative in terms of those specific business goals, and then how did that impact your approach to the project?
With respect to the service profit chain, it
it boiled down to making lawyers' lives happier. So we approached this as, what can this project offer to make our lawyers and our clients happier and our staff? There were some aspects of the product which really jumped out at us. It's the remote call control piece, or outside voice control, rather. Lawyers tend to be tied to their desk. A lot of billable hours need to be filled, so they spend a lot of time in the office because they didn't have the infrastructure where they could work from home and it was transparent to the client. So with the implementation of this project, one of the things we're seeing is that lawyers are generally quite happy now. They can take their laptop, they can go home, work from home for the day, they can make and receive calls from home as if they were in the office, they can, you know, meet their billable hours. Clients are oblivious to the fact that they're sitting home in their personal office. So it's been great. We've had lawyers that call from a U.S. Airways flight at 30,000 feet, talking with clients and with IT, our staff, from a plane. So they're really enjoying the applications, I must say.
Excellent. One of the key success factors you mentioned in your application, and one that certainly stood out to me, was the communication strategy you used both before, during, and after the implementation. Tell us a little bit about how you approached that portion of the project and how it played a role in your overall success.
With a project of this size and the complexity of the technology, a lot of things were going to change. When you play with a person's phone, it's a pretty big deal. And when you add the additional capabilities that OCS offer, just going out and, you know, shooting out an email and saying, you know, we're going to install this application, it just would not fly in our environment. So we started off by first surveying all lawyers and staff within the firm. So that my director and myself visited every single office. We held numerous meetings in each office. We surveyed everyone in the firm, and we mapped that. So we knew the product and what the product offered. So we actually presented that to the lawyers and staff to see what portions of the product would be beneficial for them, what they liked, what they didn't like, and map that as part of our deployment strategy. So the communication was very important, first and foremost, at the beginning of the project, to let people know what we're thinking about. This is what this product offers. What pieces do you think you would use on a day-to-day basis? What pieces do you think, you know, are not really valuable? It's a nice to have, but if it's not there, it's not critical. So that was the first part of the communication plan, was to just go out and introduce lawyers and staff to the product and gain feedback from that. Next, we sat back with our project manager and we developed a detailed communication plan. There was periodic updates as to the progress in which we were making. There was communication that was sent out after we started a pilot program with a specific number of users. There was communication prior to the actual deployment of the core functionality. We, you know, there was a lot of communication to the point where we were almost worried that there'd be too many emails going out. And then just before we launched, there was another roadshow, we called it. Again, my director and myself visited every single office, gave people a demo of the product, and then gained feedback. This is your last chance to really have your input. After we visited every single office, we began with the actual training. We implemented the training plan and the deployment plan.
Well, and one of the other things you mentioned was you took a really phased approach to delivering different pieces and parts of the product suite. Probably a little different than some firms would go about doing it. So what made you decide to do that, and how did you decide which pieces and parts to roll out in what order?
First and foremost, we wanted to reduce downtime. There could be, you know, no downtime within the firm. So we looked at the product, and it's broken up. We looked at it. It kind of makes sense. There are two aspects of the product. There's the core functionality, which gives you instant messaging, presence, live meeting functionality. That was pretty safe, so we decided to deploy that first. Very little training happened with respect to the core functionality. People are familiar with the concept of instant messaging. They probably have MSN Messenger or Yahoo Messenger at home, so that wasn't a really big risk for us to deploy the core functionality. When you get into the voice piece, that gets a little tricky. So what we did, where we already had our existing telephony infrastructure in place, we installed our PRIs, our telephone trunks, alongside current telephony infrastructure. We had our gateways installed, so we were really essentially running two separate systems simultaneously. That way we could have a pilot, we could have a comprehensive test of the application in a production environment. So for a while, we had, with our pilot group, which was initially 50, but the response was so positive that we ended up doubling that to 100 users within the firm. They actually had two phones at their desk. So they had the ability to call internally through Office Communicator, as well as externally through Office Communicator. They couldn't receive any outbound calls. Any calls destined internally from the outside would go to their telephone system. So that was pretty safe. So once we worked out most of the bugs, we felt comfortable that the gateways were performing as expected. Then it was essentially over the weekend, we would port our DIDs from our existing telephone system to the infrastructure we already had in place. And come Monday morning, when someone called, it would actually ring on their communicator phone, and we quickly came behind and removed their old phones, so there was no downtime for them.
You mentioned working with your project manager to define your communication plan. Tell us a little bit more about your project management process in general, in terms of, you know, mapping out the plan for dealing with all of these different technologies and so on. And how did that project management process impact the team's ability to work through the project to its success?
Well, project management has been a focus of our director here for the last year and a half. Every service team lead within McGinnis Cooper is required to attend a project management training seminar. So we were familiar with the concept. We tend to take it a little further. We have about 16 people in our IT department. Out of those 16, there are five of us that have attended project management training, and we have a project manager on staff. We started the initiative about a year and a half ago, like I said. Starting off, we actually sat down as the service team leads, and we divvied up different documents that we figured we would need to have a successful project. The intake form, the charter, communications plan, risk management plan. Each service team lead was responsible for one piece of the documentation. And Jenny Gray, our project manager, was kind of spearheading the initiative. So she gave us some direction. So every week for about a year, every Wednesday, we would have a project management meeting. Instead of heading out to lunch, we would come in, sit down, lunch would be provided, and we would tweak and hash out the documentation, and there were quite a few revisions. This made that really work for us. The default, you know, charter that you download off the internet just didn't work for us, so there was quite a bit of discussion about making different documents work for McGinnis Cooper and what we envisioned for our project management methodology. So once that was in place, along came OCS. So we're like, you know what, this is a great example of a project that we can run from start to finish through our project management methodologies and see how well we're actually doing and how much progress we've made with respect to the project management within the firm. So the timing was great. So we started off right from the start. There was, you know, working on the intake document, charter, statement of work. It was great to have Jenny on staff. A project of this size, you can't wing it. There has to be structure. There has to be, you know, someone that can, a taskmaster, we'll say, that can keep tabs on all of us technical people that tend to run around quite wild, pushing buttons and changing settings. So she really took this to heart. She sat down and worked with myself and our director and really made us see the value that project management could play in a project of this size. And it was fabulous. It was a fabulous experience to be able to quickly go to Jenny at any point during the project and say, what tasks are we behind on? Where do we need to focus on? What's our critical path? And where have we deviated from that? And to quickly bring the project back into line. It was invaluable to have Jenny there with respect to overseeing the project.
That's music to my project manager ears, of course. So, you know, a project that was this complex and spread out over that period of time, of course there are going to be some surprises. So what were some of those unexpected obstacles or challenges that popped up, and how did you guys tackle those?
Well, I'll have to be honest. There wasn't a lot that popped up that we weren't ready for. Jenny was methodical in her approach to risk management. We spent a couple hours with a couple hundred pieces of yellow sticky paper trying to jot down absolutely everything we thought that could go wrong. And then she made us prioritize those things as in, you know, is it likely, is it a shot in the dark? resolve some of those issues. One of those issues would have been outbound caller call display. And we identified that there's, you know, this is a potential risk with any office communications deployment. There's some issues relating to caller ID. What we didn't anticipate was the proprietary protocol that our telephony provider uses. Here in Atlantic Canada, we might be a little bit behind. Some of the new technology that we're trying to implement, such as our net gateways, were designed for newer protocols, different types of ISDN connections, and unfortunately our telecom provider was a little behind. So we knew there was an issue. What we really struggled with was within the project plan, determining how long it would take to resolve those issues. But there wasn't too much that came up that we weren't prepared for, but we just had difficulty where it was a new project and there was a lot of difficulty finding people or resources that had experience with this. We couldn't really tell how long it would take to resolve those issues.
Great. Well, I just have one last sort of capstone question for you, and it does lean a little bit towards my project management roots, but if you'll indulge me. What did you learn from managing and delivering this project that you would apply to future McInnes initiatives? And last but definitely not least, what kind of advice would you offer to your peers within ILTA who might be facing similar kinds of initiatives?
Lessons learned. I'll be honest, I was a little skeptical at the beginning. A lot of the time we spent was upfront planning, and as most IT people just want to hit the ground running, we've got an idea, let's go install stuff, and let's start making configuration changes, and let's make this work. And I was one of those people, I'll be honest. But with a project of this size, Jenny really made us realize that if you want this to be successful, slow down, take your time, and plan up front. So we spent a lot of time upfront planning, both the communication plan, the risk management plan, planning the deployment, planning pretty much everything. So we had a good idea of what was going to happen before we ordered our first piece of hardware. That is one of the things that I've learned. If you want a successful project, take your time and emphasize on planning upfront. That's the best thing I took away from this project management experience, is the planning upfront. Advice, any firm that doesn't have a project manager on staff or any project experience and you're going to implement a large project, if you don't have someone in-house, go get a consultant, because it was invaluable to have a project manager. With so many balls in the air and you're juggling so much, you've got desktops, you've got VoIP pieces you're working on, network infrastructure, you've got telephony infrastructure. One person can't wrap their head around it by themselves. So if you've got someone that can quickly, oversee four or five key members of your team, and they can report back to her with respect to status and things that are going wrong, during our weekly meetings we would have, she could quickly flush out issues that I was aware of or that I wasn't aware of, sorry. And if, with all these pieces that are interconnected, I mean, this is a large system, so you have different pieces that work together. If one person is having difficulty and is falling behind, that could impact three other team members that will eventually come to the point with their task that they're ready to integrate, or they're ready to integrate with the piece that, you know, the person that's falling behind is responsible for. So having someone that can, you know, keep their head wrapped around all the tasks that are taking place, be able to identify when you deviate from that critical path. These are the things that need to take place before this portion of the project can take place. And having the ability to identify that before it's too late, it's invaluable to a large deployment of any type. So any ILTA member that is ready to deploy, and not necessarily OCS, but any large project that you don't have a project manager on hand, it would be beneficial to look at, you know, spending the extra money, bringing in a consultant, and taking your time and planning prior to beginning the deployment or implementation.
That sounds like excellent advice. Well, Corey, again, I want to thank you very much for spending some time with us today, and congratulations to you and to your team for both successfully implementing what sounds like an outstanding project and for walking away with the officially first Project of the Year award. at this year's conference. It was a great pleasure to hear about how your team tackled this particular initiative and the role project management played in that. So we look forward to hearing more great things coming out of Atlantic Canada. And again, just want to thank you for your time today and look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Thank you so much. I'll pass that along.